In memory of Robert and Shirley. Everybody knows that the dice are loaded. Everybody rolls with their fingers crossed. Everybody knows that the war is over. Everybody knows that the good guys lost. Leonard Cohen, Everybody Knows, 1988. Author's note. Two extraordinary colleagues contributed deeply to this book. Christina Sikowski, who earned an undergraduate degree at Wellesley College and a master's degree at Georgetown University, carried out important interviews and document analysis for more than 2 years. She was singularly responsible for the rich interviews that inform Chapter 26, among many contributions. I could not have finished the book without her. The same is true of Elizabeth Barber, a graduate of the Honors College at the State University of New York, who also earned a master's degree from Columbia University's Graduate School of Journalism. Among other things, Elizabeth carried out a 9-month fact-check of the manuscript, recontacting sources and reaching out to new ones. She used this reporting to improve the manuscript from start to end, adding new scenes and revelations, and pushing tirelessly for accuracy, nuance, and completeness. Although I am solely responsible for what appears in these pages, Directorate S belongs to Christina and Elizabeth as much as it does to me. There are other important colleagues from Columbia and elsewhere who made vital contributions. I thank them all. Introduction. In 1989, I moved to New Delhi for the Washington Post to become the newspaper's South Asia correspondent. I was 30 years old and responsible for a phantasmagoria of news from India, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, and Nepal. For 3 years, I hopped from capital to capital and from one guerrilla war, coup d'etat, and popular revolution to another. It was thrilling and affecting work. In Afghanistan, the last units of the Soviet occupation forces had recently pulled out of the country. The war caused by the Soviet invasion had claimed an estimated 1 to 2 million Afghan lives, or up to 10% of the pre-war population. Landmines and indiscriminate bombings maimed hundreds of thousands more. About 5 million Afghans became refugees. Soviet and Afghan communists purposefully decimated the country's educated elites, executing or exiling traditional leaders. By the time I turned up, this culling had left much of the field to radical preachers and armed opportunists. In Kabul, the Soviets had left behind a few thousand KGB officers and military advisors to prop up a regime led by Mohammad Najibullah, a physician turned secret police chief. Najibullah's forces controlled the Afghan capital and an archipelago of cities. The countryside belonged to the Mujahideen, the anti-communist rebels funded and armed by the CIA, as well as by Pakistani and Saudi intelligence. The war had settled into a grinding stalemate. The Soviet troop withdrawal knocked the Afghan story off front pages and network broadcasts in the United States, but for the Post, it remained a matter of running interest, not least because the CIA was still smuggling guns and money to the rebels. The agency's career officers and analysts were among our subscriber base in Washington. Like other correspondents in those years, I covered the Afghan war from both sides. I flew periodically to Kabul to interview Najibullah and his aides, or to travel around the country with Afghan communist generals. From Pakistan, I went over the border to see the Islamist rebels' hold on the countryside. The work was generally safe, as correspondence from a medium-grade civil war goes. Yet during this period, Western reporters and humanitarian workers learned to be wary of the loose bands of Arab Islamist volunteers circulating among the Afghan Mujahideen. These international radicals sometimes staged roadside executions of non-believers they came across. We did not yet know them as Al-Qaeda. The CIA subcontracted its aid to the Afghan rebels through Pakistan's main spy agency, Inter-Services Intelligence, or ISI. By 1989, the service had grown into a powerful, corrosive force within Pakistan, a shadowy, deep state.